All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll just remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, all-around good dude, very conservative. Stan McDonald, I'll tell you more about him here in a few minutes, but he's your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. All right, so like many of you, I take inspiration from great storytelling. I do. I grew up loving to hear stories of old comic book heroes who fought the bad guys. Sometimes I get a glimpse into something that even a real person had done that would just amaze me, make me want to stand up a little straighter, do my part, you know? Truthfully, real heroes are actually all around us. And the real stories of real people doing really hard things and overcoming them are some of the best stories of all, especially the ones that run to the fight even when they don't have to. So in that vein, I just learned about a real-life hero that I did not know about before. Everybody knows about Sam Walton, right? Sam Walton, the small-town Arkansas man who had a big idea to build a modern-day general store. So yeah, in 1962, Sam Walton started Walmart. By 1970, just 8 years later, sales were approaching the billion-dollar mark already, and the company went public. Sam Walton, he stayed humble, but he was sure enough a multi-millionaire by the late 60s. None of his kids would have ever had to work a day in their lives if they didn't want to, but that was really not their way. And one of them, Sam Walton's middle son, John, he went on to become a sure enough hero, going to hard places to do hard things. So in 1968, John Walton was a student at Wooster College. He'd been a star football player in high school, the All-American kid, but in 1968, John told his dad he wanted to drop out of college, join the Army, and go to Vietnam. He said, quote, "There's a lot of people talking about the war in dorm rooms, but I don't think they understand it." He wanted to know more about the conflict, what was going on over there, more than he could get to know from a textbook or from the nightly news. So he did. John Walton, son of one of the richest men in America, enlisted in the U.S. Army and volunteered to become a Green Beret. He was humble about where he came from. He told his Army buddies his dad just owned a five and dime store back home in the South. But John Walton, already in the extreme position of being a Green Beret in a war zone, he then became a member of a legendary organization called the MACV-SOG. SOG, or Studies and Observations Group. SOG was a clandestine group of warriors that did everything you see in the movies. Raids, ambushes, rescue missions, long-range reconnaissance, working deep in enemy territory in small teams. Well, in August of 1968, John Walton was a Special Forces medic on a six-man recon team inserted into a crazy dangerous place called the Ashaw Valley. Walton's team landed in the hornet's nest, and they became completely surrounded by enemy soldiers. Of the six men on the mission, one was killed, one lost a leg, and another was severely wounded by small arms fire. John Walton, he ran from man to man, administering life-saving first aid, fighting and killing the enemy, rallying his team. When his team leader was wounded, John Walton took over. The attack on their position was so fierce that he eventually had to call in an airstrike on their own position just to break up the enemy attack. A South Vietnamese helicopter pilot by the name of Captain Thinh Dinh came in under heavy fire and managed to extract the team. Captain Dinh actually defied orders to get his aircraft into that hot, hasty LZ. But Walton, he helped load his men to the chopper as rounds were striking the overloaded aircraft until they were able to lift off. Yeah, John Walton, son of the richest man in Arkansas, was awarded the Silver Star for his actions that day. He stayed on, too. He stayed on and finished out his tour with SOG, and he came home, and he became a crop duster. And later, he formed his own aviation company. In 2003, he flew his own personal aircraft to go pick up Colonel Thinh Dinh, the same man who had flown to rescue him in the Ashaw Valley and bring him home, or to a reunion, I'm sorry, to honor his service. And then in 2005, John Walton died in a plane crash. At the time of his death, he was listed as the fourth richest man in all the United States. That's an amazing story if you get down to it. That's an amazing story about a guy who went to the fight and did the deeds even though he did not have to. Humble men do amazing things for amazing stories, right? They do. I cannot think of a hero, if you think about it. I can't think of a single hero, whether real or fictional, where the admirable quality of the hero was based on taking the easy way out. There's not. Conflict avoidance rarely works out. That's not to say the world should go around with everybody, you know, looking to pick a fight. Not at all. But avoiding trouble simply because it's uncomfortable or fearful is never going to be the right answer. One of my favorite movies of all time was on recently. It's a storyline that's kind of like what I just described. Normal men just doing abnormal things. You may have seen it, and if you haven't, then I highly recommend it. In fact, I'll go ahead and say, any guy out there who hasn't watched it, I'm going to question your manhood until you do. The movie's Open Range, starring Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall in a great supporting cast. I won't go too far into the movie plot, but suffice to say it's a movie filmed on an epic scale with huge vistas of the Great Western Plains. Costner and Duvall, they play two characters named Charlie Waite and Boss Spearman. Two rough but honorable men that are herding their cattle across the plains until they meet up with a rancher who doesn't take to what he calls free grazers. Well, the gunfight at the end of Open Range has been rated as one of the most realistic and well-orchestrated gunfights in all of movie history. But while the scenes and the storyline and the cast are all solid, it's the quotes and the lessons that come from the movie that really stick out to me the most. This is a movie that teaches honor and loyalty and grit and hard work, and it also teaches that most elusive lesson that there will be times in life when you have to face difficulty head on. That pretending adversity does not exist does not make it go away. That allowing bullies to continue bullying does not make the bullying stop. And that truthfully, there's no respect in turning a blind eye when other people are being hurt. In one particular scene from the movie Open Range, the main characters were making their presence known in the saloon, and they were well received by some and not by others. And Kevin Costner's character, Charlie Waite, he just faced down an accuser in epic style, and several townspeople who lived under the thumb of the local land baron, they were pleased, but they were also scared. In the conversation with Charlie Waite, Costner's character went something like this. A man said, "Yeah, it's a shame what this town's come to." And Charlie Waite says, "Well, you could do something about it." And the man says, "What? I'm a freighter. Ralph over here is a shopkeeper." Charlie Waite's character says, "You're men, aren't you?" He says, "Yeah, but I didn't raise my boys just to watch them get killed." He says, "Well, you may not know this, sir, but there's more things that gnaw at a man worse than dying." The underlying story was that peaceable men who had no quarrel were put in the position of having to respond. They knew that to not face the opposition was worse than facing it. They chose the hard route because hard ain't easy, but where hard is usually where solutions are actually found. In society as a whole, we have sections of our culture that are infinitesimally small in number, but who glaringly make demands that all the rest of society ought to agree that right is wrong and wrong is right, and corporations and churches and elected leaders and just plain folks stand idly by, unable to bring themselves to ever even possibly say no. And so it just keeps going on. And listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, hard can get ugly. It can. Doing right can leave a mark. Taking the high road might even make the trip go a little longer. But another one of those classic lines from Open Range had Costner and Duvall's character talking right before the big gunfight. Boss Merriman said, "It's a pretty good day for making things right." And Charlie Waite says, "Well, enjoy it while you can, because once it starts, it's going to be messy like nothing you ever seen." But take note, though, that messy didn't mean don't do it. It was just an acknowledgement on their part that doing the right thing, dealing with the issues with their faces forward, like the Bible says in Isaiah, to set my face like flint, that's something that may wind up being messy. But it was the first part of that conversation that really mattered. The first part was, it's a pretty good day for making things right. So my message today is, y'all, don't avoid things because they're hard. Step into the fray. Make things right. Do the hard thing. Take inspiration, whether it be from a movie like Open Range or from a real-life guy like John Walton. You don't always have to, but sometimes you just got to want to. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.